Hey guys, welcome to episode number 15 of Let's Book Talk. Today we're speaking with author Hallie Christensen. She's the author of Enchanted Misadventures with Great Aunt Poppy, Magic, Mayhem, and Monsters. We had a really great conversation about the state of middle grade books, how to get kids back into reading, and so much more, going back to, you know, how she developed her passion for storytelling and her journey to becoming a published author. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Hallie Christensen. Enjoy. So if you could tell me about how you developed your passion for storytelling and how that led you to participate in even, you know, the Young Authors Conferences, not only in your hometown, but statewide in Alabama.
Yeah, so I think from an early age, I just always enjoyed stories. I was one of those kids that really enjoyed reading. I would go to the library with my mom and, you know, I would get library books. I would check out library books when we would go on family vacations. And I guess at the time I didn't realize I also was listening to audiobooks because there would be like this little carousel with plastic bags and they'd have the cassette tapes in it. And yeah. So I, you know, I'd go through the carousel and I'd pick my favorite books. So I'd listen to books while we went on road trips. So it's just something I always enjoyed. And I liked coming up with my own stories. I had two older brothers. And so I was the younger sibling and I was also a sister. So they didn't want to, they're great, I love them, but they didn't want to play with me as much when we were kids. And so I had a lot of free time and kind of developed a, you know, vivid imagination because of that free time and would talk to myself a lot, which perfectly normal, but would create my own characters and my own stories. And that's where writing kind of got developed. The Young Authors Conferences actually helped me to continue that development of just the love of writing. They took place in the 90s. I don't know that they do Young Authors Conferences anymore, but it was where we had our whole county. Obviously, we probably helped to pay for an author to come. I remember one of the authors was Stephen Kellogg. And if you're not familiar with the name, just Google his name and you'll recognize because he wrote and illustrated the majority of his picture books. And so I just remember him coming and talking to us, and I loved his books. And the thing I loved about Young Authors Conferences, they would have them every year for my school, and you would get a little blank hardback book where you could write down your own story and illustrate yourself. And then you would get to share it with other kids that day that also participated in the conference. So I enjoyed writing and I enjoyed illustrating. I'm not that great at drawing. I don't draw just right now. But I just really enjoyed it. And that helped to build that love of making stories.
Did becoming an illustrator at any point, did that enter your mind as well of doing both? Or did that start that way? And then you were like, I'll just focus on the writing.
I mean, I love to draw. I think like a lot of kids, I doodled in the margins of pretty much my notes and everything. And when I did start writing my own books, when I was a kid, I would illustrate all my pictures and people would be like, oh, you're such a great artist. And they were being nice. It was good for a kid's work.
Like, right.
It was fridge worthy and that was about it. But I don't know. I guess I just realized I was better at making the stories than I was illustrating the stories. And some people can do both, but I'm better at the writing part.
Got it. Now, when I was looking through your website, you know, reading as much as I could about you, that's the journalist in me, you know, always trying to do as much research as I can. So when you mentioned, you know, putting your dream of becoming a storyteller on the back burner for a bit and then coming back to it later, first, what led you to take that break and what brought you back to pursuing that dream?
For some reason, like my entire life, even through middle school and high school, I was like, I want to write a book. I've got to write a book. I need to write a book. I always wanted to write a book. And I had no idea where to start. I had no idea about, you know, how to write a story outline, a character arc, anything like that. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll just write down ideas. Because at the time, I didn't realize it, but I actually was imagining myself writing like a contemporary novel because I thought things that happened in my everyday life just seemed really interesting and be like, oh, this would be great for a book. This would be funny in a book. People could relate to this. Mm-hmm. And so throughout high school, I always kept Post-its in my purse. And anytime something happened that I thought this would be good for a story, I would write it down. And my friends, they even would stop asking because they knew what I was doing. Because we would be talking about something, all of a sudden I would just pull a post-it out of my purse and jot something down and just stick it back in my purse. And they are like, you know, Hallie's gonna write a book someday, and she's just making notes. And I have like this entire notebook, and it's still like in the closet back in my, you know, my parents' home, where it's just full of post-its. And what I learned is that I had greater faith in my memory back then. And should have kept more extensive notes. They were great ideas, but I literally just jotted down one or two words because I thought that would be enough to trigger my memory for something to be in my book. But the point is, I was always building some type of, you know, folder of ideas for books. And then I even created like a Google Drive folder when Google came out with their, you know, with the cloud and stuff, 2010 or something. I was like, oh, hey, I'll store ideas here as well. And I did. But again, it was just, this seems really daunting sitting down and writing a book. Because I would flip through books. I'm like, these authors are amazing. I could never write a story like this. And how do you even start? And where do you even begin? And where did they get these ideas? I just have a book full of post-its that I think might be funny or amusing to somebody. And that was really, it was really my own inhibitions. And then, you know, going through school and college and stuff, you're so busy. I was an English major. I was having to read a ton. And so I was like, I don't even know if I want to read anything that I even wrote right now because I don't even want to read anymore because of all the stuff I had to read. And what triggered it? I'm trying to think exactly. So I indie published a picture book in 2017. And honestly, what triggered that is after getting my master's in English, I like hit the wall when it came to reading because there was so much reading for my master's. I'm like, I'm done. But it was all, you know, it was all reading for school, so it wasn't exactly leisure reading. It was just work. And I at the time I was working full time in a at a junior college library, and one of the librarians that worked there, she worked there at nights, and during the day she was a high school librarian, and she actually would suggest books to me to read because she would sit there and just read books, and I would ask her, be like, so what are you reading? Because she would have to stay on top of current trends because she's got to get books for her students that they're interested in. And at the time she was reading Uprooted by Naomi Novik, and it's a YA fantasy, and it came out I think around 2015. And she read me the first line, and I was like, wow, that sounds really good. And she's like, you should read it. So I went to the bookstore and I bought it. And I basically devoured that book, and it brought back to me the love of reading, that escape, just everything that a wonderful book does for you when it touches you like that. And that's what re-triggered the, hey, you've always wanted to write a book, why don't you start now? And so I wrote a picture book, and I don't want to get off too much to that story because I wanted to answer the question that you gave me of what triggered it, but a good book is literally what brought me back to the idea of writing again.
That's awesome. And I think that that's probably a very common thing. Like, I guess that burnout that a lot of people might feel and just be like, I don't even want to look at this. Because all I associate that with right now is work, and it's the last thing I want to do. And you know, going off of that, when you went onto those online and were part of those online writing communities, how you felt that that really helped you develop as a storyteller, how important was that for that progression of just being in those communities and, you know, other people helping you out?
Honestly, it was crucial. It was absolutely crucial. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the online communities. I'm from a small town. There probably are writers here, but I don't know them, and there's not many great ways for people to connect. Someone in college had told me about Wattpad, which is where a lot of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Fan fiction. That's it. A lot of fan fiction is written on Wattpad, and so a lot of people like devour the stuff that's on there. And they're like, why don't you start writing and just put your stuff out there and just and see if people like it? Because you can upload things like a chapter at a time. And so I thought, okay, I'll try that. And so I first did try that around 2010, and I uploaded a few chapters of two different types of books, and it got decent feedback. But when I decided to start writing again after I wrote the picture book, I was like, okay, I want to write a novel. And so I started out on Wattpad just to kind of gauge, one, let's see if you can do this. Let's see if you can stick with something. And then two, if you have people who are interested in the next chapter, maybe that'll help you to push you to keep writing. And so I started a young adult fantasy on Wattpad, and it actually did pretty well. And also, I received great feedback because other writers who are on Wattpad will read your chapters and they'll also like leave notes in the margins. And that's when I learned about beta readers and critique partners, that you could actually send your writing off to other writers and have them give you feedback. And so this helped perfect my storyline, my character arcs, even things like paragraph breaks and stuff, because I wasn't even formatting a story correctly. And, you know, info dumps, you know, getting rid of those, dispersing those. And so the online community really helped me with everything, the writing, the outline, and like I said, the character arc development. And then also, I didn't realize there was like books on teaching. They could teach you how to write stories like Save the Cat, or books like I can't think of the word of it. It's the thesaurus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's got the blue cover. Now I talk about it all the time. The emotion thesaurus. There you go. That one as well. All these amazing books that I read and helped perfect my craft. And I couldn't have done any of that without the online community. It helped to give me the push. They're very supportive. And so, yes, I strongly encourage that if you're in an area where you're not able to meet up with authors, find authors online, connect with them, share your work with them, and, you know, help with them with their work as well.
And kind of staying on that same topic of an online community, I mean, BookTok specifically, I feel like has given such a this platform that didn't exist before, for just immediate access to readers and other writers to like share what they're doing, what people are interested in. How has being on TikTok helped you, not only in that regard, but just overall to share your work and just kind of have your finger on the pulse of what is trending?
Yeah. No, BookTok has been wonderful in that perspective. So I've made a lot of friends on here. There's a lot of information on here too. A lot of people are really open and honest about whether it's they've indie published or traditionally published, and like what that path was. And you can learn so much about it that is just, I don't know, I feel like there's like gatekeepers or something. For some reason, it's like once your book gets past, you know, querying an agent, nobody knows what happens next. And it's like authors have been publishing books for decades. Why don't we have any information on this? Well, here's some authors here on TikTok who will tell you all about the process and what they're going through right now. There's been great support on here. I've met a lot of amazing authors and learned about their books. Yes, TikTok does a great job at promoting other people's books that you would have never seen before had they not been on here and on the platform. So it's just, yeah, it's a wonderful community to be a part of. And there's a lot of things that you can learn here.
Absolutely. Now, I do want you to talk about your book, Enchanted Misadventures. What was that whole process like for you? Just from not only the writing, character development, but just, you know, diving in and writing that book.
Right. So this was another Wattpad experience, actually. I had written a middle grade novel, and I had done what I thought was the correct thing, which was hired a very expensive editor and had it professionally edited. And so I thought, okay, this time around, this book's going to get picked up by an agent because I've written it and I've looked over it at least once. Gosh, I had no idea. And I got an editor and I did what they said. So now it'll get bought.
Yeah.
And after so many months of querying it, there was only one agent that was interested in it. And she was actually a pretty top agent. But it was written so poorly. I'm just going to be honest. You know, it's one of my first books. And so obviously she passed. And I was devastated because I had put a lot of time and a lot of money into this. Because I thought I was doing it, you know, the correct way. And not to say getting an editor's not, but the book goes through a billion edits before you send it off to somebody. And I had only maybe put it through three, if that. And I was just so devastated. And I thought, I'm going to take a break from writing again. And I just couldn't write anymore. And then that's when I was on the Wattpad community. And one of my friends reached out to me and said, hey, there is a novella contest that Wattpad does every year. And they give like 40 different prompts and you choose one of them and you write like a less than 20,000 worded story. So it's even in middle grade, that would be like super short. So it is basically like a novella, maybe like a chapter book size or something. But I thought, okay, sure, I'll try it. And the very first prompt was one of their only children's books prompts, but it was something to the extent of like three siblings have to spend a holiday with a relative and they don't really want to. And I, like, that was the extent of it. And I thought, Oh, I could do something with that. And so I just sat down, and it's probably one of the first times it has ever been this easy that a book just automatically came to me. Characters, their personalities, how they looked, where they were going. And I just started writing. And I remember I sent this to my critique partner, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna start, I'm trying something else. What do you think of this? And they were like, this is the best stuff you've ever written. They're like, I even love this, and I want to read more of this. And then they went as so far as to say, you should try to get this published. I thought, wait, it's really that good? And so I kept going with it, and I submitted it to the contest. Now, it did not win the contest, but it did basically win the Miss Congeniality of the contest. So it was like, while it didn't win a top prize, a lot of the judges really loved it. And I thought, okay, maybe I do have something here. And so I started, well, I beefed it up some since it was only 20,000, and then I made it up to close to 40,000. And then I started sending it off to agents. And unlike my other book, this one did get more requests from people. But as the traditional publishing process goes, trying to get an agent, there were a lot of rejections. And it took about 10 months. And I had about given up when I decided to send it to like this mid-sized press to see if they would be interested. And about a couple months later, I heard back from them, and they told me that they loved it and that they wanted to publish it. And I decided to go with them. So it was published with a small press, and very happy with like the cover and the whole process and everything. So it's there's because there's it's like a mixed bag experience when you go with a small press. You should always read the fine print. But I had a good experience, and so yeah. And then, my book was now being able to be enjoyed by other people.
What was that feeling like of, you went through kind of this roller coaster of wrestling with, do I even want to keep doing this? Like it, the wait is just so long to then you've signed that contract, your book is published, it's out in the world. What was that feeling like when you just reached that finish line and said, finally, I did it?
It was very surreal because it's just like you said, there were so many pitfalls on the way to this thing being written. And if I could offer any encouragement to any writers out there, it's just you gotta just keep going. It can be a very rough process, but it is very rewarding when it's finally finished. And while you will get some bad reviews from, the trolls that are out there, you will get some generally really good reviews, and there's some readers that will come up to you and they will tell you how much they loved your book and how much they loved your characters. And just being able to share that with someone, being able to share a book that people can connect with, or a book that helps them feel better about something in their life, or just makes them happy. There's just something wonderful about being able to share that. Yeah.
That's awesome because that's a question I always like to ask because I'm sure there's like one through line where, there's a similar reaction with a lot of people of, I never thought I'd get here. And now that I'm here, like this is actually real and happening is so surreal, like you said. And, now you're, on the road to writing your next book. Can you talk a bit about how that process is going? You already got the sense of what it can be. And now, going into the next one. How's that been going for you?
Yeah. So one of the things that I like to do on TikTok is I post a lot of videos where I am openly honest about the whole publishing process for me. So I'm seeking the traditional route, which means having an agent and submitting to publishers. And so I do have an agent. When I submitted Enchanted Misadventures, I did not have one. But a year later, I got an agent with a different manuscript, which is a middle grade horror that I have written in between the year of it being of my book being edited and published. And since then, I've also written a middle grade fantasy. And both of those books are out on submissions. And just briefly, submissions is when your agent submits your manuscript to editors at acquiring publishing companies. And usually they're top five publishing companies only because, well, you can submit your manuscript to typically smaller or mid-size without an agent. But if you have an agent, you're able to get to the top ones. Which is just it's just a goal of mine. Do I have to be published by top five? No, but it's one of those cool goals, if I could say that, just check that one off. So I would be happy being published anywhere. So right now I am on submissions with those two books, which is a super fun process that's very similar to querying, in that you send it out and you wait months to either hear back from them and it's a rejection, or it's they ghost you. And then every once in a blue moon, a rare blue moon, you get a yes. So I'm in that process, and there's a lot of other authors that I have seen on TikTok. They're also in the submission trenches, and they're all very supportive because it's just not a fun place to be. So what do you do in the meantime? You write. And the book I'm writing now, it's I don't know. I'm good with middle grade. That's just where my voice is. Maybe one day I'll venture into YA. I doubt I'll venture into picture books again because they're just kind of a beast of their own, surprisingly. They're for little kids, but they're hard to write. And it's a cozy middle grade fantasy. It takes place on in a like a mountain valley in the summer. Has witches, but it's like a really cozy magic. Like they just kind of use magic just to like make things in life just a little easier. And I have a little girl who is visiting her grandmother. She calls her Nana for the summer, and she hasn't gotten her magic powers yet, like everyone else at school. So she's a little self-conscious about that. And then she also is glad to be spending her summer with her Nana because she's not really great at talking to people her age. As in, anytime she tries to talk to people her age, it's like she can't talk. So she's glad because Nana lives in Starlight Hollow and it's just a bunch of older people. It's like retirement people. And so she can talk with any of them because, they're like all grandparents to her. So this is a like coming of age story. There's a lot of internal struggle. There's stuff from her past that she has to deal with that kind of help her be able to get her voice back when it comes to making friends. And so I don't know, it's just been really fun because, well, it's also been difficult. I say fun because it has been super cozy. I listen to I pull up on YouTube just like this cozy ambiance and just listen to that the entire time. And actually, I have found that does help with writing. I used to listen to no music. I can't do lyrics or I'll start writing the lyrics.
I'm the same way with reading.
Yeah. But the instrumental stuff, when I'm writing, that actually, if you can find your genre type of music to whatever genre you're writing, that actually is super helpful. And now I've completely forgotten what my point was by saying it.
No worries. No worries. Well, one thing I was going to ask was, or well, firstly, I feel like a premise like that is so easy to connect with as a kid. Especially someone in that age group, because I feel like so many kids go through that of like, a lot of my friends are at this point in their lives. I'm not there yet. What's going on? And that kind of thing. So I think that's super relatable. And, as a middle grade author, I was watching a TikTok that you had posted recently of like the trend going into this year of how things were, in children's books. And you made the point of, kids aren't reading for fun right now. What do you think has to happen for that to happen these days? Because for me, I started reading again last summer. And for a long time, I was, for whatever reason, I was like, if I'm not reading nonfiction, like historical books, then I'm not reading good stuff. And now I'm like, what have I been doing for the last, 10, 15 years of my life? What do you think has to happen to get kids hooked on reading again?
So I feel like if I can correctly answer this question, like I'll solve the world crisis on children's book reading and everything. That is the golden question. How can we get kids interested in reading again? A lot has changed. So I grew up in the 90s, and there wasn't as much to entertain us as there is now. There's so many different outlets for kids, so many different other things that are competing for their attention. And yes, the visuals and the things that they can watch and everything, it's easier for them to be interested in than to open a book and read. The article that you had mentioned too was one that I had recently read in Publishers Weekly, where they said last year was like one of the all-time lows as for kids reading for fun. And I'm assuming that kind of just means they're reading in school because they have to, and they're not reading any other time. Like by choice, they choose not to read. And so that's why, graphic novels have made a bigger push because I think it has that visual thing that while that they're able to get from, online and social media and from TV, we got visual effects, these cool illustrations to look to while we're also reading at the same time. So I mean, graphic novels might be, and I know they're on the rise right now, and it might be what helps to get kids back into reading again, because I know at some point in their adult life, they're going to need to turn to a book for some type of comfort or answers or something. And I hope that they do. Publishers Weekly mentioned that we're still waiting for that Chosen One book series that everybody wants to read and wants to pick up again. But it's like, I don't know that we'll ever quite have a series like that again, just because of all the other options that children have for entertainment. I don't see them waiting at a Barnes and Noble at midnight, you know, for a special store opening to grab a special book. Even since then, I feel like the last book series that kids like devoured was kind of like the Diary of a Wimpy Kid series. And that would almost be considered a graphic novel as well, just because there's a lot of illustrations in it. And though I was way too old for the series, I read some of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid because I thought they were hilarious. And one of the things about them was that they were just so relatable. Like every thing that the main kid, what was his name? It's not Greg. Was it Greg? Greg Heffley? I can't remember everything. I think that was it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Been so
Well,
long.
I know everything that he went through. It's like I went through at some point in middle school, and so maybe that's it. What do kids want to read? Do they want that escape? Do they want that fantasy escape, or do they want that thrill? Do they want a horror, or do they want a book that helps them deal with what they're dealing with life right now? That's the thing we gotta figure out, is what is it that they want to read. So I guess we should just take a, you know, worldwide poll, you know, in schools and just be like, hey, what do y'all want to read right now? Maybe we should just do that. Maybe that's the answer. We just start asking the kids instead of the adults trying to guess what they want to read next. Why don't we just ask them, hey, what do y'all want to read? You know, and maybe that's it, because we keep guessing and right now we're getting it wrong. Publisher Weekly said, you know, middle school's always been like a roller coaster, and right now we're in the downward part, and we just kind of keep going down right now. But they're like, some point it'll pick back up, and maybe that point is when we find out what kids want.
No, I think that's the right answer is, go to the source. What do you want to read? Because guessing can only get you so far. You might guess 100 times, you hit on one, two maybe, and then you waste time on the other 98 or 99. I know you touched on it earlier in our conversation, but do you have any advice for aspiring authors that are not only just dealing with, the issue of maybe being in the writing process and just struggling to get to that finish line, or just, not trusting their own creative process to say, if you just, it doesn't have to be perfect. If you think it's good, finish it and we'll see what happens. Do you have any advice for them, for those people that are dealing with those things?
Yeah. So first, I just want to say that every one of those things that you just mentioned, it's like a universal feeling for every author. And it doesn't matter if you're a new author, new writer, or you're an established New York Times bestselling author. We all have those feelings of self-doubt. And that first draft that you write, which in case anyone, you know, listening doesn't know, the first draft is when you sit down and you write that entire story from start to finish. Is it done? No, it is far from done. That is your first draft, and it is totally okay if it's a hot mess piece of garbage, because that's what the first draft is. It is you telling yourself the story, which I think that might have been Terry Pratchett that said that's what a first draft is. Don't quote me on that, but I didn't want to steal his words. I think that's him. But you guys sit down and write it. And then you put it aside for just a couple of days, and then you pick it back up, and that's when you start editing, and then that's when you really start perfecting your story. A couple of days ago, I had the fortune to be able to meet Katherine Arden, who is one of my favorite authors. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She wrote the Winter Night Trilogy, which is a YA fantasy series, and then she also wrote the Small Spaces Quartet, which is a middle grade horror series. She was on tour, and she was in Nashville. And with her recent release, Warm Hands of Ghost, which is like an adult historical fantasy fiction. It takes place during World War I. It's got some paranormal elements in it. Sounds really good. Have not had a chance to read it yet. But people asked her about her writing process. And she's a New York Times bestselling author and has seven books that have done incredibly well. And this book, she just struggled with it. The Warm Hands of Ghost, the ones that just came out. She said that during that first draft, there were so many times where she threw things, because she actually handwrites stuff. And I'm amazed, because my hand cramps after about one paragraph. But she handwrites her novels, and she was tearing stuff out, throwing things away. She was frustrated. She was angry. She was upset because there was so much she wanted to say. And she's like, I plots were not lining up, characters, I didn't know if they were needed. And she's like, I'd spent months on it. At one point, I just told my friends and my family, I can't finish this. I just can't. And I thought, wow, this is a New York Times bestselling author. And she's struggling with the first draft and she's doubting herself and she can't finish the book. It just happens. It always happens. It happens with every book. There are some books that you'll sit down and you'll write and you'll be like, wow, that was easy. And that, again, another blue moon thing that happens sometimes. But for the most of your books, you're going to struggle with it. And the question is, are you going to put it away, or are you going to get back on the horse and write the rest of the book? So you got to keep writing it. And again, first draft, hot mess, that is 100% okay. You fix it afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, to tie in a one of my favorite Disney movies, you know, Dory was right, you know, just keep swimming. And that's really what you have to do. Just keep writing. And like you said, if it's not great, it's not supposed to be that first go around. You have to keep doing it. I mean, I don't know if you're a big music fan, but it was like the documentary with the Beatles in Abbey Road, you know, trying to write the album. And it was like so many different versions of these songs that just kept developing and changing. And yeah, the finished product is almost not going to be even, you know, remotely identical to the first draft of anything you write or create. But that's, I think, the beauty of art. You know, it's always changing. Well, Hallie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Before I let you go, if you can tell people where they can find you online, where they can find your work, and any other way they can support you.
Yeah, awesome. So I do have a website. It's authorhalliechristensen.com. All my social media tags are on there, but you can mostly find me on Instagram and TikTok under HallieChris_writes. You can contact me, communicate with me if you have any questions about anything. I'd be happy to answer them. My books are both available on Amazon and pretty much anywhere online where books are sold.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll have all those links that Hallie just mentioned in the description of the episode. Make sure to go check out her books. Make sure to keep track of what she's got going on. And like she said, if you want to contact her, have any questions, if you're a writer yourself, I'm sure she'll be happy to answer them as well. So yeah, guys, thanks so much for listening and talk to you all next week.